Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have two rounds in the magazine. Round number one, we're going to talk about some fears. I saw on Reddit that there was a fella that was a little nervous about trying to join the military, and he gave some reasons why. We're going to have to talk about that because it's one of the most nonsensical reasons I've ever heard. And then I also went through Reddit and found some of the other things that people were scared for joining. So we're going to talk about those as well. And then in round number two, President Trump this week talked about some folks that were getting shipped to America for a bunch of different reasons. We're going to see if that myth is true or if it's not true. Still, even if it's not true, I love the story. It's great. And it made me laugh, which lots of them do. What didn't make me laugh this week is all the Snowmageddon. But cons, I think we talked about it with Nicholas a couple months ago, a lot of months ago, I guess, that I didn't really ever care about my lawn. I didn't care about any of that stuff, doing it, chopping wood. I will say this is drastically different when it comes to snow blowing. And I think it's because if you mow your lawn, the only person that gets gratification out of it is you. None of your other neighbors give a shit if you are mowing your yard.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
As long as it's not completely unkempt. If it's not completely unkempt, like a very normal, I mow my lawn like every other week or something like that. Nobody gives a shit if it's perfect or if there's lines or anything like that. They might compliment you, but people don't really care. Snowblowing.
No, so long as it doesn't look like crap, yeah.
Yeah. Snowblowing, I feel like, is a totally different paint job. There's a fella in my neighborhood who, the first day that it was really snowing, we had a decent amount of snow, like 6 inches or something like that. He came out with his Honda snowblower that self-propelled, went down two separate blocks, and was doing both sides of the street. And was just like, hey, the kids are going to school. I'm going to make sure that everything's taken care of. And I was like, what a move from this dude. Because he just alphaed the shit out of every other dad, right?
I don't know that that's an alpha move so much as that's just a neighborly move. It's not saying, hey, I'm doing this because you can't. I think it's saying, hey, I'm already out here and doing it. Like,
that's the alpha move, Cons. That's the alpha.
That's not a little part of him that knows. Like, I remember all the housewives on the block are looking out their windows and then looking back at their husband on the recliner going, huh, wouldn't it be nice to do a little more like Tom?
Happened to me. Yeah. Like, he's out there doing it. You want to get out there and go do our neighbor's yard and stuff like that. So I got my dumb ass up.
If it's an alpha move, it's only an alpha move for those men in the neighborhood who are insecure about themselves and know that they don't want to go do it.
Oh, please.
If you know full well, you're already going to go do it.
You think I'm insecure about my manhood? You think that's me?
A little bit.
Of all people, you think I'm concerned?
My dad.
That is crazy.
Buddy, your wife doesn't think you can do it until you do it. You got to prove it to her.
I couldn't do it. Are you kidding me? She said that I'm not doing it. That's the same thing with the people in the summer. I could go out and mow my lawn. The alpha dad is out there 7:30 looking out with his cup of coffee and being like, I'm drinking it up,
It gives you volunteer fireman energy. My dad finally got one and it gave him volunteer fireman energy. And whenever there was a big snow, he would start going door to door. Hey, just let you know I'm out here. I'll take care of your driveway. But then he'd also say, but I am thirsty. And he would get beers from everyone on the block.
Yeah. That's a good exchange.
I think there's a lot of tools out there, power tools, that when you get an opportunity to use them, you relish that opportunity.
Oh, big time.
It's a fun tool. Snowblower falls in that category. Chainsaw falls in that category.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't think it's an alpha move. I think it's like, you're already out there. You're having a good time. You're not trying to do it to like make someone feel bad that they're not doing it.
Not making feel
more
bad.
Stuff to plow.
Has nothing to do with making somebody else feel bad. You know for a fact, I don't know why you're acting this way, Cons. You know for a fact, the dads that go out there 5 a.m., they're out there 5 a.m., they're sitting there with their coffee. You know they go back inside and they're like, Hell yeah, did that for the whole neighborhood. Now, and every other person sees that they did it. So whenever they come out, the next time you see that guy that went by, hey, thanks, man. We appreciate you doing the sidewalks for everybody. That gas, that level of serotonin jump that you have has got to be unparalleled. And I'm going to experience it. I told Annalise I wouldn't buy an expensive snowblower this year. Next year, best one on the market. I'm going to do all of my entire neighborhood. The whole village is going to be done by me. I'm going to block off the roads and make sure that I'm going out there even when it's blocked off. I'm going to do the streets too.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I just don't think it's an alpha move. I think it's just a neighborly move.
No, I disagree.
Maybe, well, because also here, Chap, like, this is your first time experiencing consistent snow. Like, I grew up in a neighborhood where that sort of thing was just commonplace. And like, I think back to like my Nana, she lived alone until eventually she passed away. Her Mr. Gary across the street would always come with his tractor and plow her driveway. Shout out to Mr. Gary.
It was, and he got the thanks. That's the entire point. The thanks of a whole neighborhood has got to make you feel like $1 million.
Yes, it makes you feel good. 1,000%. I'm not disagreeing with you there. I don't think most guys do it to alpha the other dads. They do it because they want to help their neighbors and be neighbors.
I think it's same thing with your lawn. I think there's an element of pride and there's an element of wanting to kick somebody's ass and another thing. I think that everybody, and you of all people, I'm shocked at this because you're so competitive. I feel like you're being an integrity violator. Just straight up, I think you're being an integrity violator.
No, when it comes to just being a good neighbor, I'm all about just everyone being a good neighbor and not trying to make other neighbors look bad.
I'm doing both.
I worry that you're going to, you know, go overboard and in an effort to make other dads look bad.
Right. My dad got his new snowblower back in the day, got the volunteer fireman energy, went over to the neighbors to do their driveway, ended up sucking up their entire dog, super long dog leash line into a snowblower.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Baby Dale, I did right shoot some dog poop across the yard. Yeah, the dog poop. Because Baby Dale, when it was super snowy and icy... Yeah, that motherfucker's not going in the snow, dude. He found the spots that I had cleared already, went and shat there. Then when I came back to do it again, there was more shit that he had done. And I threw shit so hard it smashed against my garage. And that made me laugh a lot. Fucking Baby Dale. All right, let's get into the actual show today. We have some concerns about people who are joining the military. Kate, what's the first concern that somebody has?
Being too hot probably for the military. That was my main concern before I joined. I was like, am I too hot for this? Am I?
Yeah.
And I was indeed a 7.2 at one point in Afghanistan. So pretty hot. But anyway, No, this is from our military FAQ. Leaving to basic soon, but can't swallow pills. Will I be kicked out? Just a random question, but I'm leaving for basic soon. I was told they make you take a good amount of pills at reception. And a couple other times, but all my life, I haven't been able to take pills because they get stuck in my throat and I choke. What am I supposed to do if I can't swallow pills properly? Is this something I can talk to them about or am I just screwed? And what pills are they giving you? I don't remember. I don't remember a single pill.
Shots, yeah. Like lots of vaccines, lots of different shots. But pills?
What pill? Think about it right now. Hold on really quickly. What pill could you they would make you take?
800 milligrams of Motrin.
The only thing I can think of is the anti-malaria pills they made us take that made us all have crazy dreams in Afghanistan. But even then, nobody was like forcing it down our throats. A lot of us just stopped taking it. I wonder who's telling them this about the pills, because definitely not true. But I used to have this issue. I used to have a lot of...
I could see that. Because you chew on stuff for 8 hours. You eat a gummy bear and you're going to be eating it like it's Christmas dinner. Like it's going to take you 2 hours.
Don't ever go out to eat with Kate unless you have like a block of 4 hours.
Or if she can eat it in the car.
I have a super hard time. Yeah. I still have a hard time swallowing pills, but at least I can. But it was all mental. It was like a mental block for some reason that like I couldn't do it. And then I started anti-depression pills a few years ago, and I got one of those bad boys stuck in my throat. And oh my God, the burn, the burn. I called the VA. I was like, and she was like, did you try to eat a cookie? Eat a cookie. And I was like, I can't swallow, you dumb bitch. Anyway.
You had a pill stuck in your throat and you called the VA to get like the remedy of what to do.
The burning was so intense. No, it was.
Oh, like from acid reflex? Is that what you're talking about?
That's the generic name for I forget what. And if you Google it, people don't realize you have to take that particular antidepressant with a shit ton of water, because if it gets stuck in your throat, it will burn like a fire for 24 hours. And that's what happened to me. And I was like, excuse me, this anti-anxiety pill is causing me an enormous amount of anxiety right now because it started to burn. And then I was on my floor for like a whole day while it burned a hole in my esophagus. And so, yeah, I called the VA. I was like, I cannot get this pill out. I could breathe, but I can't move it. What do I do? And they were like, have you tried swallowing a cookie? I was like, honey, I can't swallow this pill. You know, we gotta swallow a cookie.
I can't. I mean, I guess I
what a ridiculous suggestion of all the different things. Like, you're a toddler. Yeah. Like, go give him a cookie. Like,
but also, a cookie is like dry. And I think that would only exasperate the problem, not help it. Why would you just suggest
annoying on the phone and such a pussy on the phone that she wanted me to die? I think she was like, have you tried putting another pill on top of that pill?
And if you're listening from the VA, we don't really think that you wanted Kate to die.
Thanks for the pills.
No. Do you all I'm always flabbergasted by people who take pills without some sort of drink to go along with them. People who take pills dry, I don't get that.
It depends on what size it is. If it goes up to 800 milligrams, I can't do it. But if we're talking about like Allegra or like a normal pill size that's like Tylenol, I could pop those in like and eat them like nerds, real like, no wet problem. Mouth. Mm. Another alpha dad energy. No water with your pills and your face cons.
A lot of water. For the love of God. Okay.
All right. What's the second one,
Kate? So my answer to them would be, don't worry about it. There's no pills. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Number two.
Yeah,
I'm
not a problem.
I'm currently speaking with a Marine recruiter. I have a fairly decent idea of what the training will consist of. I'm a little nervous, but something I never really had to think about before just hit me. I'm terrified of flying. I suppose flying is okay. It's just the height factor. Even thinking about it shakes me up. I'm probably overthinking.
That's part of it.
But I'm told not to tell MEPS. I'm also told not to go on one without a little mental preparation. So I was curious, like, has anyone else had to overcome this fear? I know it's irrational. I've almost drowned twice, but I'm not afraid of the water. But basically, yeah, this person is terrified of flying. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's going to be a fucking problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a deal breaker. If you can't fly, I don't know. Even if you're, I mean, if you go to a combat zone, unless you're in the Navy, you're probably going on a flight for sure. Mm. Even if you're stationed, like if you graduate boot camp from Fort Benning and then you have to go to Seward or something like that, you're flying. And they're not going to be like, oh, well, this soldier, he needs to take the Amtrak.
No, like, and even me, like, I never thought I would wind up in anything more than a C-130. And I was in helos at night, pretty low over like Lashkarga in the middle of my. You never know when you're going to end up flying. Like, if you're afraid of flying with the door wide open in the back and the gunner hanging out, like, you're probably not going to do well in that situation, you know?
I remember the first time I got in a Black Hawk, I had no idea, like, because I had never been in one before, so I didn't know how to work the seatbelt. And we were getting ready to take off, and the door is wide open and going to stay open.
Well, let me guess.
My pants, man. I thought I was going
to
be able to.
You
get
would
my
rather
on.
Fall out
fall
than
out.
Have to ask somebody else how to use your seatbelt on the.
100%
insecure with your manhood, right there.
I just stood there and tried to. I eventually figured it out, but no, I think it's that. But there have to have been people who join the military who are afraid of flying. That's a pretty common fear, I think.
Yeah, but that moment, like you're saying, with the helicopter door or the tail end open whenever you're flying, if there's another chopper that's behind and you could see it in the air too, it makes you want to play Wayward Son so bad. Yeah. Like so bad. If I had
but
that
I
on my
that's
Zoom.
A different level. That's a different level of being afraid. Like, okay, it's one thing to get in a plane that has every door closed. You start getting up in the aircraft with open doors, that's a horse of a different color. And I can understand even more people being scared.
And also,
it's so loud in there. And that oil, whatever the oil is, splurting all over the place. How in 2024 have we not figured out how to make helicopters not splurt oil all over? I mean, Sika had it all in his hair, poor guy.
Damn copters. Also, too, if you're afraid of heights, you got to do the O course and all that shit. You're not going to do it. But you can overcome it. Better help.
No.
I'm thinking about joining the military, but I've been diagnosed with arachibutyrophobia, and that is longtime stoolie abacatruchiovia, the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. Some with this condition may be able to eat small amounts of peanut butter, but others will completely avoid it pretty much the rest of their lives. I've heard boot camp will work around your peanut allergy, but what about the fear of peanut butter?
I think this is a superpower. Okay.
Being scared of MRE, peanut butter?
Yes, because every MRE you open, when you get peanut butter, you're going to give that sucker away, and you're going to be everybody's best friend. Good I think point. Peanut butter is a hot commodity in MREs, so I think you'll be everybody's friend very quickly.
Mary, fuck, kill. Let's do Mary, fuck, kill. Mm-hmm. You got wheat snack bread. We got not wheat snack bread. Let's go regular cheese, jalapeno cheese, peanut butter. And your source that you're putting it on is wheat snack bread.
Okay, I'm killing regular cheese right off the bat. Okay. I'm marrying peanut butter, and I'm engaging in a fling with jalapeno.
I'm fucking
cheese.
Peanut butter, and I'm marrying jalapeno cheese. And you're right, regular cheese gets killed.
Yeah.
Hey,
same
what's
with Kate.
The only
That's where
thing?
I'm at
what's
as
the only
well.
Thing you really All right, let's need in an MRE?
Hot sauce.
The cheese spread. You knead it with your hands before you open it.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Boo.
But yeah, and don't tell them about the peanut Boo. Butter shot that they get going through. They're going to eat that, too.
True, yeah.
If I can All show right, that it one? Will give me overwhelming anxiety, can I keep my phone in my locker in the bathroom at boot camp? I won't use it. I'll feel better if it was close by. Do you think I can get a waiver for that? Just join the army. They'll use it the whole time. Yeah. Join the army. Right. Don't join one of the
Air Force.
Don't
too.
Join a hard branch. Join the army. Okay, you can have your phone. Yeah.
Just give them a pinky promise.
I think
that
they even let
you
keep your mommy
your
on the top.
That's
bunk.
All it takes.
It's
a pinky
neat.
Promise.
That's cute too.
Yeah, I think the phone one's definitely not. But I could see. I mean, that legit might be part of the recruiting problem. You know, because that wasn't like a concern for us. Really.
No,
like you didn't have that. But if you are telling. Like somebody that's addicted to Snapchat, addicted to TikTok, and you're like, hey, you're going to have this job, but for 13 weeks, you're not going to be able to go online and see anything. You have no idea. What if you're in boot camp when it comes out that Nancy Reagan's the throat goat? You're going to miss that whole thing. What if you miss?
Think about all the great news you're coming back to when you're back able to get online and all the crazy stories that you missed. To just get that flood of 13 weeks worth?
Especially if you're a hot man or woman, you're very good looking. Think of all the likes you're missing and all the social media of yours that's not growing. That means less hot people are going to join the military, which means less horny people are going to join the military looking for the hot people. And it starts a downward spiral.
I would have the Buddhist photos too. When I came out of 13 weeks, the shit that I would have posted... I'm so glad I didn't have it now.
Because
these young
missed,
folks,
that we missed that curve. Thank you, God.
Right.
We would be the biggest fucking losers. Oh, chap.
And probably
what kind
charged.
Of phone?
Like we.
What
I,
kind of phone did
Kate,
you guys have?
I don't know if cons, but me and Kate, if we had phones like that, we'd be charged. Like without a doubt, we'd be getting court-martialed for shitting off the side of a 7-ton and goofing around like that. We'd absolutely
smoking
get
a Humvee,
court-martialed.
Smoking and joking. Goofing. Yeah.
What I'm curious though, and this is going to show all of our ages, what kind of phone did you have when you went into the military?
Nokia brick.
I remember when I was in the Camp Pendleton Mall kiosk, guy got me to get a chocolate razor or whatever, a razor chocolate. And I remember my ring back tone was, oh, I'm a chicken fry, cold beer on Friday night, you know.
Oh, figuring out what your ringtone would have been was incredible. Speaking of razors, the Motorola razors, when I came back from Japan and I was in Pendleton too, I went to go get a phone and the guy was like, hey, right now, if you get a contract, then you get a free Razer phone. And I had been in Japan for like 4 years. And I was like, what's a Razer phone? And the dude looked at me like I had a dick grown out of my forehead. Yeah. He was like, how do you not know what a Razer phone is, guy?
That was easily the coolest of all the flip phones was the Razer.
Oh, without a doubt. I think Andrew Luck still uses one.
He might. I just remember, though, I had like one of the, like, I don't know, it was like an LG something or other. I actually didn't even have it when I showed up to school, though. I got it like while I was a freshman. So I didn't even have a phone when I showed up. That's how old I am. Jeez.
See, I think that's what's making these kids not want to do it.
Sometimes
I will have an
extreme reaction when even just thinking about string, let alone seeing it in person. I will avoid string or anything having to do with string, such as sewing or tying shoes. If we have to sew in boot camp, I will kill myself on the spot.
Buddy's going to see a roll of 550 cord and collapse.
I mean, an Irish pen is going to make him lose his mind. Then.
But a lot of the day you have to like learning how to lace your boots and all that stuff. And I mean, there's so much strength.
I mean, just think about how much stuff you tie down with 550.
Let alone the bracelets all you guys are wearing. I mean, those 554 friendship bracelets and all that stuff. Mm. Yeah, this person is screwed.
True.
your little friendship bracelets that you guys wear.
Yeah, we should do that instead of like Swifty just says Battle Bud on it. A couple of battle buds with their bracelets.
I really love that idea, to be honest with you. I want to join the Navy like my grandfather and mother. I want to go to a unit where I won't have to be on a ship. I have an intense fear of the ocean or deep open water. How can I avoid water in the Navy, or should I join the Army instead?
I feel like being around water is a big part of the Navy.
I
want to
join the Space Force,
but
fuck the moon, dude. I'm not. I knew it.
My recommendations for not branches would be first up the Coast Guard, second the Navy, and then third the Marines. Like those are the ones that
I want to join the Navy, but I'm terrified of overweight people in uniform. Then, buddy, don't do it. Don't go Navy.
What if you can't? What I wonder if this fear gets beaten if you can't see the water. Like if he's in a submarine.
Yeah, submarine's probably his best option for if you're afraid of the deep ocean. Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah,
claustrophobia and the deep ocean. That'll help out.
Maybe claustrophobia is not an issue.
If you're dealing with all kinds of different stressors, maybe you should talk to our friends.
What a segment segue. Beautiful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And conveniently enough, Zero Blog 30 is sponsored by BetterHelp. So, you know, right around, we're coming into the tail end of the first month of the year. And around New Year's, everybody gets obsessed with how to change yourselves instead of just expanding on what you're already doing right. Because plenty of people are already doing good things, so focus on that. Maybe you finally organize one part of your space and you want to tackle another. Maybe you're taking your supplements every morning and now you want to actually eat breakfast too. Therapy helps you find those strengths so you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. I know when I was going through a massive transition from an apartment to a house, I needed therapy in addition to needing my wife more than anything. I needed my wife, but I needed therapy to help me through that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Celebrate the progress you've already made, folks. Focus on that. Visit betterhelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero.
I actually like BetterHelp too, because I was talking to my therapist this week. And sometimes whenever it's on video chat, like we're talking on video chat right now, you can almost feel like it's performative, you know, like for somebody with a personality like mine, whenever I'm on with a therapist, I feel like I still have to be entertaining, that I'm going to be engaged and things like that. This week, we were talking about something and I made a joke and she was like, Matthew, stop it. We're being serious. You're not entertaining me. I'm your therapist. And I was like, you got me. You got me right where I stand. So shout out BetterHelp. They got good therapists, man. Check it out. All right, let's move on to round number two.
All right. On at least three occasions over the last 2 months, former President Donald Trump, if you hear heavy snorting, my 2-month-old with a nose cold is sitting right next to me here. On the last three occasions over the last 2 months, former President Donald Trump has claimed that the leaders of unnamed South American countries are deliberately emptying their insane asylums and mental institutions, his words, to send the patients to the United States as migrants. In each version of the story, Trump has claimed he recently read about a doctor at a South American mental institution who said he used to be busy but now has no work because all his patients are in the U.S. I kind of love this. In mid-April, in a speech to the NRA, Trump said, I read a story not long ago where a man who takes care of a large segment of people in a mental institution in a South American country, a doctor, sounded like a great man, actually. He said he no longer has anything to do. He used to work 24-hour days. All of our patients have been released to the United States of America. You don't have to say where you heard it. You don't have to give any details. You don't have to go. That's all you need is a loose story that enrages people, and it's fact to those people.
And when he was asked, Kate, when he was asked about which country, he said, I would tell you, but it's a country you never even heard of. Like,
I'm sure we've heard of all the countries at this point.
Yeah, so he was like, you don't know this country. It goes to a different school. So I came up with, because there are a bunch of different countries that we haven't heard of, so I came up with a list, and I'm going to ask Cons and Kate if it's a real country or if it's a fake country. So if it's real, you guys say real, fake, it says fake, and there's 10 examples. The first up is Tuvalu. Tuvalu is a small island nation located in the Pacific Ocean. It's one of the world's smallest country, both in terms of land area and population. Tuvalu is known for its vulnerability and rising sea levels due to climate change. Is Tuvalu real or not real? Cons?
I mean, you get into the Pacific. There's a billion islands out there, but I don't know. That name sounds fake.
I will say, is it where that viral wave video just came from? From the military outpost that got slammed with the wave and all those people got swept away and injured, but they're fine now. But did you see that video? Holy shitballs.
Yeah,
I
saw it.
I did see that video.
Do you think it's real or if it's fake, Kate? This is a real country. I don't know if it has anything to do with that wave that Kate's talking about, but I'm going to go ahead and say it does. So pray for the folks in Tuvalu because of that big old wave. Second up, Veradia. Veradia is a picturesque island nation in the South Pacific known for its lush rainforest and vibrant coral reefs. It has a small, close-knit population that values environmental conservation. Real or fake? Veradia.
That sounds
Kate,
like
we'll go first.
That
with you
sounds
this
like
time.
Something I'd have a really hard time telling my partner that I had it.
It does. Sorry, I got another case of Veradia.
Yeah.
Anybody got, what was that horse?
Ivermectin.
Ivermectin, what is it?
Ivermectin to treat my Ivermedia or whatever this is.
Also, doctors and pharmacists, how do they say all those medicine names? I wouldn't, even if I was smart enough to be a doctor, I wouldn't be able to say those
names. Yeah, no, I'm going
to
say fake.
I think they say it, they say them however they want to say them, and because they have MD next to their name, people just take them at their word.
That's a fair point, Cons. Do you think Veradia is real or fake?
I'm going fake on this one.
That one is a fake nation. Nauru is the third smallest country in the world by land area, and it is located in Central Pacific Ocean. It was once known for its phosphate mining industry, and its economy has faced challenges in recent years.
It sounds real. So real that I'm going to say fake.
That one's real. That's a real country. And by the way, if you're not watching, go to Rumble or our YouTube and you can find it. There's some, I'm going to put pictures on there. Like whenever we're talking about this, this Nauru place is fucking gorgeous. I don't know how I haven't heard of it. I don't know what's going on there, the social political environment, but I want to go.
Their only prejudice is against bald men with red beards.
Yeah, that would be terrible for me. That would be awesome. Next one up, San Marino. San Marino is it's landlocked microstate entirely surrounded by Italy. It is one of the world's oldest republics with a rich history dating back to AD 301. And despite its size, San Marino maintains its independence and its sovereignty.
San Marino. Play for the Dolphins, right? San Marino.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, did he play for not Pittsburgh. Dolphins? Oh, great.
He played for the Dolphins and Pittsburgh, like good. University of Pitt. Cons, what do you think? San Marino, real or not real?
Fake. It's real.
Kate? That one's real, too. The next one, Zarnor. It's a mystical.
That's fake.
Wait, don't jump the gun. Listen to the description, Kate. It might change your mind. It's the mystical desert realm in North Africa where ancient ruins and hidden oases hold secrets of the lost civilization. Nomadic tribes roam the sands in search of treasure and knowledge.
Fake.
Fake or real?
Fake.
Whoa.
No, actually, it's real.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it's real. And it's one of the countries that Aladdin talks about, actually. No, it's fake. It's fake. Yeah. Shit. That's a fake one.
There. That cool.
Here's another one. Panglava. Panglava is a picturesque coastal country in Southeast Asia. It's known for its vibrant street markets, delicious cuisine, and a rich cultural heritage that draws tourists from all over the world. Again, it's Panglava.
No, because you're into Pangea and probably lava now. I'd say fake.
I could become a big lava guy. You guys are right. That's a fake one. Here's another one.
Real.
Andorra. Andorra is a small landlocked country.
They're famous for their Andorra sweaters.
Yeah.
True. They are. And they're Pyrenees mountain dogs. Pyrenees mountain dogs are fantastic, but they do have one genetic defect that makes it really difficult if they're in the wild. And they got a dew claw that's absolutely enormous, and you gotta get that thing chopped off in a heartbeat. Yeah,
you gotta feel for animals like that. Sorry, out in the wild, because there's no veterinarian that they're gonna go to and be helped. So you just gotta suffer. That stinks.
Exactly right. Comoros. Comoros is an island nation located in the Indian Ocean off the east coast of Africa. It consists of four main islands and has a diverse cultural heritage.
Real.
Real again. Yes, absolutely right, Cons. Sao Tome and Principe, located in the Gulf of what?
I say real. Sorry.
Cons, you're violating the rules of the game. I'm not even introducing.
Sorry.
This is like, you're a Jeopardy guy. This is like buzzing in before Alex is done with the question. Can't do it.
R.I.P. Alex. Okay, sorry, keep going.
So Sao Tome and Principe is an island nation off the west coast of Central Africa. It is known for its biodiversity and cocoa production.
Real.
Kate, real or fake? Cons?
Real.
That's a real one. And finally, Estuani, formerly known as Swaziland. Estuani is landlocked in Southern Africa and is known for its monarchy and rich cultural traditions.
Real. I feel like Swaziland's always changing names.
True.
Yeah, I'll say real on that one, too.
And that one's real. Good job, guys. You guys did pretty good on that. Hopefully, none of those people are getting shipped to America. Actually, I don't
care. What did you just say? Come on.
We got plenty of room. I don't know. When I was driving up here, we got all kinds of land. Like, we should let people come, but you got to come and hang out in one of these
small screeching, crying baby cell phone. I just got to say really quick, I've been spending a lot of time in this rocket chair because I threw my back out. And you're talking about these countries and how beautiful they are. Smithsonian Channel, Aerial America, 45-minute episodes where he just takes a drone over every state and shows you all the cool shit. Oh, my God. It's the fucking best, dude. It makes you fall in love with America all over again.
There you go.
I'll definitely watch that.
All right, Kate's going on mute. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you.
Can we start right there with that story, though? Because I mean, it's just crazy, and it's not, I don't think, unique to Trump. I think it's anybody these days. If you just spout something, plenty of people will take it as gospel. But more so, and I was talking to Alex about this, it's becoming more and more real that he is probably going to be the Republican nominee for the presidency in the fall. And I almost think we need to collectively as a country have a conversation and just prepare accordingly. Because I'm worried about what that's going to bring based on how the last, decade has played out, or, almost decade back, going to his first presidency. I think people need to start mentally preparing, like, He's going to be the nominee. He's going to say things that are going to be wrong, not truthful, that are going to be mean-spirited. They're going to annoy you. I'm worried.
I feel a lot of people kind of miss the kookiness. You know, I feel like people are almost nostalgic for it in a weird way. I don't know.
No, I disagree. Everything is a conspiracy theory, and it's driving me insane, man.
Yeah.
Like, even Kyle posted old producer Kyle, he posted a tweet thread that they get, the comments that they get on Task and Purpose. And this week, I'm sure anybody that's listening knows, there was two Navy SEALs who were lost trying to a rescue operation this week. And they did searches for about 10 days. And finally, 2 days ago, the Department of Defense said that they are going to classify them as missing or KIA whenever they suspended the search and things like that. But in that, one of the most widely covered stories that there is from the DOD, you have family members that are expressing their all kinds of sympathies and their remorse, all those different things. And in his comments on Task and Purpose, was like, that's a false flag and shit like that. People don't believe anything. And if everything is a conspiracy theory, nobody is. And I think one of the parts about this show that I like, we don't try to act like we're a whole lot smarter than we are. Everything can't be a conspiracy theory. And that's what it's turning into. The election's fake. COVID's fake. The Navy SEALs who passed away are fake. The mass shootings are fake. January 6th is fake. All these different things are fake, except for you can see them. Like, you're being told things aren't real that you can fucking see. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm reminded of, I was always told years ago, you know, you only believe nothing. What's the saying? Believe nothing of what you hear and only half of what you see. But even still, like, if you see it with your own two eyes, I think that's pretty real. And also, who benefits from making up two Navy SEALs losing their lives?
Conspiracy on who benefits from it, too, Cons. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, they're saying that loss will make people want to go to war with the Houthis and like that.
It's so ridiculous. But anyway, I guess, big picture, just maybe not necessarily looking forward to this election cycle. I don't know what to expect. But based on the fact that there's just so much disinformation out there and there's just going to be people taking everything said as gospel. I mean, I saw someone put something on their Instagram story the other day that was so very clearly from a parody account, but they absolutely posted it in earnest. Like, oh, yeah, classic. Can't believe this person said that. And it's like, you don't get that was a joke. That's the level
to be fair. That's hard to parse now, Cons.
I guess.
Like, cause you would never assume that somebody who is a front runner for one of the American parties is saying that a country that nobody ever heard of is sending all their mentally ill people to the point that that small country has a psychiatrist who has no one to see.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy.
I don't know. Anyway, one of the irrational fears I thought about when we were talking about joining the military, I bet you there's a lot of people that have an irrational fear about being naked in front of other people.
It's rational if you have a shamrock tramp stamp.
Yeah.
And a weird birthmark over your butt crack.
Or if you have the dick so small that whenever you're getting your initial inspection, that whenever the first sergeant or company commander is sitting there and they ask you, I'm going to fuck it. I'm going to say it. Recruit, where the fuck is your penis? Like, that's a bad moment. Bad moment.
I bet that keeps some people, the fear of getting made fun of for a small penis.
Like, what if you have huge dangly flaps? You wouldn't want to go.
Well, your bush is so big. They take your raises away. You can't.
Yeah, but what if you had flaps that were like Basset Hound ears?
Not that those are mine.
All right, anything else, Conch?
Yeah, last thing. It's interesting now.
Thank you.
Kate.
Turning 40 this year. You know, obviously, everybody knows I just moved and I'm a new father. It's interesting, though, how certain movies you watch through a completely different lens after you go through certain parts of your life. And two that I've watched recently that hit home differently. One is this is 40 for obvious reasons. But then also Neighbors with Seth Rogen.
When the frat moves next door, they have the baby and the frat moves next door or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. 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 I don't know. I just, it's just interesting that I found certain jokes to be funnier or just heard them differently now that I'm almost 40 and I have a daughter who's almost 7 months old. So those two movies just kind of stood out to me. I was just curious if you guys had any movies that when you watch them after becoming parents or a little bit older, how they changed.
Well, I know I put other things about my brother had kids way before me. And I remember coming back to my parents would get a little beach shanty every year. And in my party days coming back and my brother being like, do not wake the babies. And because I would go into the kitchen and try and make like a Chinese food sandwich with garlic bread or some shit at 2 a.m. And I'd be like, what a fucking stick up his ass so hard. And now when Pat shuts the microwave, I'm like, I'll kill you, motherfucker. Like now I'm like, oh, oh my God, I was the asshole. I was the asshole. I'm having a lot of moments with thinking about both my parents and like other friends of mine who were parents long before me, where I'm like, wow, I've been really inconsiderate and terrible in my day. Anyways.
Kate, what about you?
I guess I'm a bad person is what I've realized. I super threw out my back now. It was on the brink and now it is fucking done. I essentially live in this chair. I sleep in this chair. I keep the nugget raised. Look up a nugget. American made. No free ads. It's this big stack of cushions next to the chair where I can hoist the baby over to it quickly and do it. But essentially I'm living in like a 5 foot radius now and throwing out your back, man. I was thinking people in the military who throw them out, you are so fucked because it's not something you can see.
Yeah.
It's not like a broken limb. And it seems like you're exaggerating because every little move I make, I'm like, and I can see Pat being like, okay, all right. But it's like, no. I cannot pick up my baby. I can't leave the house now because I can't get him in and out of the car seat. Like it is, it's like, sounds like a pussy as they say, but it's like crippling kind of.
No, yeah. I mean, it is like, it's your back. Kyle had that same issue. That was the reason why he was medically retired from the Marine Corps. And he said it was terrible because he was such a good Marine. He had stellar evaluations and things like that. And then once he hurt his back, because you can't see, it's not like a broken arm that you have a cast. People are always like, oh, how bad is it? I mean, if Kyle's fucking complaining about it, it's pretty bad.
There's no way I could serve with my back like this. I was thinking about it. I was like, there's no way I could function. And I probably looked at as like a sick chick queen or whatever, but like, holy shit. And then it made me think about back pain. I feel like is inevitable the longer you stay in, wearing all that heavy gear and all that dumb shit you got to do. And I imagine I would like to see the rates of like regular civilians and back issues and troops and back issues. I bet it's fucking crazy, man. But I just picture trying to lead troops with a bad back and I would fucking die. So anyway, God bless.
And the old adage is nobody used to have a bad back.
Back in my day, we just blah, 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 blah.
No, I mean, you don't get rid of it. Once your back is bad,
you're
basically bad forever.
That. Yeah,
you're right.
It might get a little bit better, Kate. I mean, if you could swallow the 800 milligrams of Motrin, you'd be a lot better.
Oh, I'm taking so much ibuprofen. It's crazy, but I'm missing my Motrin. So I'm pretty sure I went to the doctor yesterday. Wait, oh, is it?
Those are the same thing. Yeah. It's like Tylenol and acetaminophen.
Anyway, I go to the doctor yesterday at the hospital where I had the baby. And she's like, I think it's something. I think you have a bulging disc. You probably need an MRI. She's like, but your insurance, she's like, I'll ask. But she's like, your insurance is going to reject it. She's like, if I know the way this goes, until you do about 6 weeks of physical therapy and the physical therapist can tell you it's a disc. This ain't working. It's a disc. This is only making it worse. And then I call the physical therapist. They can't see you because they're booked solid for 3 weeks. So it's like by the time I finally get what I need for this, it'll probably be gone anyway, which is brilliant on behalf of insurance company.
Can't you? Absolutely. Yeah. But can
I'm
going to go to the VA for
I'm
going to
try and call them tomorrow and be like, please, papa, please, please, papa, MRI, please. yeah.
Yeah. Help me. I think that's your better bet.
Insurance companies are bullshit. The fact that somebody that doesn't have a medical degree can be like, I'm going to go against what the doctor says that you
especially when I can't take care of my kids anymore, like fully. It's like, girl, I can't even leave my house. But anyway,
yeah,
I just thought that was crazy, especially because that comes out of your pay. Like, you're paying for your insurance. Like, you pay for this. And I can't give it. They won't give it to you. Anyway, that's my quick pitch of the day. Yeah, but I was thinking about, troops of back pain. God bless you. My God.
Is that it? All right, mine. I'm very excited. Friday is the first episode of Masters of Air. I can't wait to talk about that. I know me and Cons, I don't know if Kate will care, but me and Cons will watch it and talk about it. I'm actually trying to get a bunch of the guys here in Chicago to talk about it too.
What's the premise
to come in
for
with me and Cons so that we have.
Is
a
this
going to
be the new, like,
what'd you say, Kate?
Men of Battle Rattle? Is this going to be the new Band of Brothers?
Yeah, like the new Band of Brothers type of situation. Yeah. Kate reduced one of the best shows of all times to Men with Battle Rattle.
Arguably the greatest miniseries ever.
Yeah.
With one of the all-time great
show,
directors in Steven Spielberg. One of the all-time great. I'll say this, chaps. I'm hopeful, but I'm not optimistic. I don't think Aaron Butler is a particularly good actor. I think he's, a good-looking dude. I don't think he's particularly a good actor. That's
I don't like
this
negative energy starting it out, Cons.
Listen,
I don't like it.
I just think the bar was set so incredibly high. Like, the Pacific didn't hit that bar. And, I mean, I'll give the benefit of the doubt to Mr. Hanks and Mr. Spielberg, but I'm just taking it a cautionary approach. I'm just not...
Do you think that's because one, Army tradition versus Marine?
What do you mean?
Do you think you like Band of Brothers so much more because it was your branch rather than the Pacific Theater?
Oh, no, I just didn't like the storytelling approach that they did. I with bouncing around and everything. I just didn't. I guess maybe part of it because I couldn't relate as much to those individuals. But I mean, I think it's widely agreed upon that Band of Brothers was the better of the two.
Yeah, I definitely think so too. But I enjoyed the Pacific. The reason why I thought the Band of Brothers, I don't know if it's kind of like when you read a book and then you go watch the movie, where you're kind of disappointed that the character that you had built in your head doesn't actually meet the screen.
Right.
I had built up so far in my brain what, like, John Bassalone and Chesty Puller. I mean, I have tattoos of both of those guys. So I had kind of pictured what I imagined their attitudes would be like. And when it didn't match on the show, I was kind of disappointed there. But other than that, I thought it was good. Not great. I'm looking forward to Masters of Air, though.
I can't believe Chet Hanks is playing the main general. Yeah.
True. Crazy. As a Jamaican, too, which is Lada Mercy. What kind of what do you Jamaican people like to eat for breakfast the most? Anybody
know? What?
No. Biekan. They love it. Anyways, a little update on my book reads. I told you guys I would do that. The book I'm reading this week is called West with Giraffes. It's the premise of it is there's a 100-year-old man that's sitting in a nursing home, and the main story of his life that he wants to tell is the time that in the 1930s where he helped giraffes try to go across the country. And it's his story of how it got there. He started as a 15-year-old boy and his journey across America. Heartwarming as shit, has nothing to do with war. It's just a fella and his companion who really loves giraffes. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. Other than that, I don't have anything. Go to Rumble and subscribe. We just started that. Go to YouTube and subscribe. Just love us, please. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Sound the retreat.